Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Folks, if you'd like a copy of my best-selling first book, Tales of a First Round Nothing, head on over to ecwpress.com. If you'd like a copy of my second book, Tales with TR, Fights, Film, and Folklore, head on over to www.flankerpress.com. If you'd like either copy personalized, just add a note. Thanks for listening to my podcast, and happy reading.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my next guest hails from London, Ontario, and after a stellar minor hockey stint, he'd get scouted to the NCAA ranks and eventually play four solid years at Colby College in Waterville, Maine. He'd go on to pursue a career as a chiropractor, and his travels have taken him far and wide, including stops in St. John's, Newfoundland, and San Diego, California. This chiropractic coast-to-coast hopper now resides in Idaho, where he's been a big part of the rich history of the Sun Valley Suns, an amateur senior hockey squad based in South Central Idaho. He is a pleasant player, a good guy, a dangling doctor, a likable Londoner, a curious chiropractor, a cool Canadian. He played through pain on his way to college in Maine. My audio is Dolby, and this guy played in Colby. He moved to The Rock and met Teddy Hitchcock. The kid can play and became a doctor one day. He once moved to Cali and now lives in Sun Valley. He lives by a creek, and I'll see him this week. Folks, Eminem goes by Marshall or sometimes Slim Shady. Please welcome to the show. It's Dr. Sean O'Grady. How the hell are you doing?
I'm doing a lot better after that intro.
I think I might have been wrong in a couple of, because I know you don't live right in Sun Valley, and I thought chiropractor. I don't know why that's in my head. Am I right?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay. Now, first of all, how did you get into that? So you, for those that don't know, Sean played with a good buddy of mine, David Manning, okay? And back in the 2000s, I believe, maybe the late 2000s, I got to know Sean through working at the bar and playing hockey, and David Manning, and it's a small, closely knit hockey community here. Now, I haven't seen Sean since. We've spoken on the phone. I know that you've been to San Diego. I know you became a doctor, but I didn't realize. So what led you into doing chiropractic stuff, first of all?
Yeah, well, hockey, like everything else, right? So
what did you do at Colby?
I was a science guy. Okay. I was bio. So I had always wanted to get into healthcare, to be honest, but I wanted to play hockey as long as I could, just like everybody else. So I actually followed Dave across the pond for a cup of coffee over in Serbia and was playing over there, and I got hurt badly. So yeah, Transylvania, Halloween, hit from behind kind of thing. And that was sort of the end of things for me. And so I came back, and at that time you couldn't have paid me money to go see a chiropractor for anything. But my mom actually convinced me to go see her chiropractor, and this guy fixed me up. And I thought, wow, there's something to this. And if I'm going to get into healthcare, I should go with something that I know is going to work. And so I applied to graduate school, got in, immediately moved to St. John's. As soon as I got in, wanted to go play some hockey again. And that's when I got up and joined Dave and was playing the Torbay there. So it was sort of a roundabout way of getting there, but it worked out one way or the other. And I can feel my hands again and got to play a lot more hockey.
Feel your hands again. So it must have been quite an injury.
It was a good one.
So what brought you to San Diego? I guess the work brought you there, and then you figured Sun Valley from there or whatever.
Well, my last company was in San Diego, but my grad school was in San Francisco. So I was in San Francisco for 10 years or so. That's what actually got me to California, was after leaving St. John's and being in the coldest place on earth.
St. John's to San Francisco.
It was a big, I literally showed up with two bags, the same two bags that I had on at Dave's house there on Maxey Street, not far from the pub, and showed up, had no idea what to expect, and got off the plane, got on a train, and next thing you know, I was living in San Francisco.
Unbelievable. How long were you here for in St. John's?
Just one season.
That was
just the one season there.
Was it a full calendar year?
It was about 8 months.
Okay.
I remember. 2005. In fact, actually, my very first night in St. John's was in your basement. It was New Year's Eve. And
the famous senior's basement for those that are following along. I do remember that. Jesus Christ, it doesn't seem like that long ago.
No, well, I mean, we've heard some of the same stories a few times since.
Oh, yeah, of course, right? Of course. Yeah, it's the exact same, too. It's the exact same. And if I'm not here on a Friday, usually like one of the boys or someone will stop by and say hi. Now, I'm going to get back into this, but what am I exactly, what does this weekend involve? So I do have actually a lot of listeners from Boise because I obviously used to play for the Steelheads. And I don't know how many, but I just know from my messages and the interest and, you know, how many times I get called to do an interview from there or whatever, that a lot of people follow along with Shorzy and follow along with my podcast. So a lot of them asked me when I dropped that I was going to Idaho, they said, well, what are you going to be doing in Idaho? And I know I'm playing a couple of hockey games, but can you put in a package, a verbal package, exactly what I'll be doing and how much fun it's going to be?
Yeah, it's always tough to put this kind of stuff into words because I had no idea what I was walking into when I moved out here. So the Suns organization started 50 years ago, senior A hockey in the U.S. I think the second oldest senior A team in the U.S. next to New York St. Knicks.
Wow.
And we're in the middle of nowhere. And so we have to bring teams in from all over the place who want to come and play here. And it's a great place to be, as you know, as you've been here a few times. It's a lot of fun to hang out in this area. It's a ski town, but there's a lot to do outside. And so we get teams from all over the country. I think back in the day, we used to get a few of the teams from Senior A out in Alberta as well. And they come down and they ski and they play hockey and have a good time with the boys and back they go. So this all came about 3 years ago when COVID hit. We ended up having to shut down the league. Now the league's coming back next year.
When you say league, it's a Central Idaho league, or who do you play against?
It's a four team league. There are a couple of leagues now, but ours was a four team league called Black Diamond Hockey League.
Okay,
and it's literally like, you know, the towns make a diamond. And it's Bozeman, Jackson, Park City, and Sun Valley. You know, and so we would play home and home, and we'd probably end up with a 25, 26 game schedule for the year. You'd have playoffs. You'd play for the Joe Casey Cup, and it was a blast. That fell apart during COVID because, as everything did, and so on the backside of that, it was tough to spin the league back up, and we wanted something to play for at the end of the year. And of course, as hockey's a small world, word got around that we were looking for a team. And a team out of Boston reached out and said, we're going to come up, you know, and beat the pants off you guys. And we said, that's okay. Come on up. Let's do this. And they said, you guys are the Sun Valley Suns. We're going to be the Moon Mountain Moons. And we said, okay, come on. This is a joke. They said, no, there's a town in Massachusetts called Moon Mountain. We're going to get our team together and we're coming out. And sure enough, they did. And they were awesome. They were all like BU kids and ex-pros from that were living in Boston. And they wanted to play for a trophy. They wanted to play for the Eclipse Bowl. Anyway, this thing started out as just kind of a, let's get one more weekend in. But we sold the place out. We've sold it out every year for this weekend. It's great hockey. Wow. This year.
Sell out being how many? Wanted,
it's 1,000. I mean, it's fire code, right? Senior A fire code. So 999 people.
Okay. So it fits. I don't know. I saw it. When you added
it's 1,000
highlights online, I know there's enough to fit a decent little crowd in there. How many people are in the rink is in Ketchum or Sun Valley?
There is a rink in Ketchum that we used to play in. We got a brand new rink in Haley 9 years ago. And so we play all our games in Haley now, which is, you know, it's nice. It's a slightly bigger town and has a lot more of the kids. It's where a lot of the youth hockey happens as well. So we play down here.
Okay.
And, you know, it's full. It's like playing in any, you know, like playing in any senior A barn in Ontario or in Newfoundland.
So I noticed, and I'm looking at the rosters. I remember Marty Flickle from junior and Daryl Hay in particular. There's guys I recognized, but those guys, so they're going to be playing with me on the moons, correct?
Yeah.
We're so coming in. What's your team made up of? I know that I saw our squad. I saw, like, you know, there's enough guys that played college, Marty, myself, Daryl, I think a couple other ex-steelheads. So I have an idea about our team. I have no idea about your team. What's your team made up of?
We usually like to keep it that way. So we are made up of kind of a similar style roster, a lot of ex-college, ex-pro. And then we're now getting kids who played the local minor hockey system who did well are retiring, moving back here, and they're playing for us as well. So we've had this sort of transition to getting a lot more of the local guys into the lineup. But you're going to see a lot of college kids. You're going to see a couple guys with some resumes. But it'll be very similar.
Do you practice?
We do.
Like during the season, are you going to practice?
Yeah. I got three kids, Terry. If I get to practice on a Wednesday night, I'm going.
If you were playing senior hockey or something, of course, there would be a level of continuity to it and consistency. But given this, so you guys do skate as a group and then – This big weekend would be the culmination of your quote unquote hockey season sort of thing, right?
Yeah. This is the last weekend. So we skate all year long. We start in October and then we finish in March, which makes for a long season for an older guy like me. But we're on the ice three times a week, four times a week, all season long.
And you, now again, I fucking loved it. When I played in Boise, people don't really, like, when I say Sun Valley in an area, and we're talking Ketchum, Haley, that's all in the same sort of South Central, if I remember correctly. But it's a ways away. Like, we're talking a couple hours. It's not like we're going to go into Boise for a coffee, right? Am I wrong? It's a way.
No, you got it right.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of nowhere.
And I love it. It's a resort town. Like I said, I really got a kick last time out of, I mean, I won't say I'm a big Ernest Hemingway fan. I'm a big fan of, I mean, I got an English BA, right? Folklore English double major BA. So I, not only do I know who he is, I read two of his books that I loved, but he's got a huge, like, and a short story collection. And anyway, and he's Ernest Hemingway. He's one of the most famous American writers ever. Anyway, There's a couple of little places, but I remember driving up there to go to the little water hole that he used to go to. I mean, I know there was more than one, but you know the one I'm talking about. And I used to have some beers, and I really enjoyed it. We went up there more than once. Weren't supposed to ski during the season, but we did. And, I mean, it's a bit of fun, right? But what I'm saying is that San Diego, San Francisco, we're talking different weather. So you love Sun Valley area so much. Idaho, that you're willing to go through the winters as opposed to, say, San Diego, which is pretty much the same climate all year long and very desirable. I'm not saying Sun Valley isn't, but I'm saying to you, you know, because I fucking hate the cold. And even though I love Sun Valley, if I had my decision, I'd probably pick San Diego.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't be alone. Our decision. So we were living in San Francisco and we came out here for a wedding. I couldn't have picked this place out on a map at that time.
It is beautiful, mind you. Yeah. Or you couldn't have. Yeah. Most people can't. The only reason, honestly, that I had heard of it is because Bruce Willis and Demi Moore had a place there. I remember that. And when I played there, it was like big news. And Idaho Steelheads, what I loved about there, sorry to cut you off, Sean, that we had, like, there's no ticket close. There's no pro hockey, anything, pro anything close. So we had all kinds of fans from there. And I remember there was Paul Revere. It was a lead singer of a band called Paul Revere and the Raiders back in the day. Bill Buckner. You know Bill Buckner, the baseball player that was an fucking believable player, but is remembered for the one error. He lived. So these people would come in and go to the games, and I used to ask them, "I'm like, where are you guys coming from? Like, you know, like you want to go out to the restaurant? No, we got to get back. We got to get back to Sun Valley." And I was going, "Okay, I got to check this place out." Now I went there. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's like a permanent vacation. When I say Sun Valley, I'm in the whole area. That's just where I used to go for more than one reason. So anyway, I'm guessing that I loved Idaho in general. Fucking Boise's awesome. It reminded me a lot of Newfoundland, to be honest. Well, St. John's anyway. The city of Boise reminded me a lot of the city of St. John's from size, attitude. You know, a lot of people drive out of town and go hunting and fishing. And, you know, it's a very Canadian/Newfoundland kind of way of life. But do a lot of ex-players stick around there?
Yeah. So Boise, as you called out, it's got this great community as well. So guys like Flickle, for example, they've been in Boise for 20 years. Same with Hazy and J-Doll. All these guys that played there have stayed, and they end up here. And this is, as you said, a special spot. This is the kind of place I didn't even know these kinds of places existed growing up in. You know, cornfields.
You grew up in cornfields. I thought it says London, Ontario, or is that where you were born?
I was born in Chatham, just down the road, and then Ridgetown, which is just a little further down the road. And then on the edges of London was all cornfields. So now it's not. Now it's a big city. Yeah, but back then, so coming out here was incredible. It was like, you know, you could see the stars. That was the first thing I noticed was, holy smokes, you can see the stars. And the next day it was like, what's that massive animal that I've never seen before? And it was, this bull elk. And then you're just seeing all these things that you read about in books. You never see them in real life. Well, they're all here. So we got this taste of nature that I thought, well, holy smokes, if we get a shot at it, this would be a great place to be. We were looking at Canmore. We were looking at a place north of Montreal. My wife, kind of had the same reaction you did, which was like, I am not doing another East Coast winter. Like, absolutely not, after Colby and everything else. So this is a little different. This is like, you know, it's nice. You're out skiing. It's cold, but it's dry. And then add on top of that, the fact that it became a hockey town. I hated hockey for 10 years. I left St. John's and moved out to California. And I was like, I don't even want to see my gear. We moved out here and, you know, I got involved with the Suns through Cubby, John Burke, who was running the team then, and fell in love with the game again and got to meet all these guys, and I'm having a laugh, you know, 3-4 times a week back on the ice. And I think that really kind of changed my outlook on a lot of things, but to do that in this place where it's just one of the nicest places I've ever been in the world. It's been a blast, total blast.
Do you keep in touch with the Manning? So before we go there, just to explain to everybody, I guess. So those that listen, at the end of every podcast, I say, like, if you're going to go to George Street, make sure you stop in to the Bull and Barrel, Trinity Pub, TJ's, Greensleeves. I list off these bars, but people, like, they don't sponsor me or anything. I say it because – I've had so many free beers at those places, and a lot through Little Mac guys, Jeremy Hart by extension. Most of the guys are not, but Hart and the Mannings, and you know, because you hang around, we go down at, right now, we go down after hockey on Friday or Saturday. It's usually one or the other. And, you know, have something to eat, have a few beers. And over the years, so many times I've been in there and had so many free drinks. And there's such a legendary family around here. Dave, Bernie, and Mike. And they're all different people. Like, because Bernie, yeah. I think Bernie was a goalie. I know he might have played out at some point. But when we would play, he would be a goalie. But he's a really world-class, or at least from what I've seen, soccer player. He's one of the best soccer players to come from Newfoundland, and he played so long, he played into his 40s, and he's got this whole, like, he still coaches and runs clinics, and he's got this whole legendary kind of soccer aura about him. And then you got Mike, who's the middle kid, and Mike was always like a local, great hockey player, always on the scene, as you know. Like, Mike is part of the fabric of downtown and that era's hockey, right? He was one of the boys, like, and I really got to know him well. I probably hung out with Mike the most. And then you got David, who's a little pepper pot of a hockey player, completely similar to his brothers, but on the ice, not so much. I mean, one's a goalie, one's a big D, burly D. And then you got David, who's popping around. Like, he's like a little, like a rabbit. Like, he bounces around the ice. He's such a great player and such a different kind of positive, always outlook on life, at least from what I saw. And now he's been coaching at St. Andrews for a long time. He's developing all these hockey players in Ontario. A lot of now have gone on to play pro. He's been doing it so long. So I knew them from obviously my whole life. And I love Trinity Pub. It's also come. I'm not just saying it because they've done me favors. It's a really cool place. It's really expanded too. If you ever get back, you're going to love it. It's way bigger. They got a bigger place now for live music. There's all kinds of food. So it's awesome. But when you were here, I'm guessing, because you were here for that 8 months, so you were playing hockey in Torbay. Dave was still here at the time. What would have been, I don't know, you worked at the bar. And at the same time, medicine. So how would you sum it? Like, did you have a good time in Newfoundland? And did you hang out with the Mannings as much as I thought you did?
Yeah, I had a blast. I can't wait to go back. Actually, my wife and I talk about it all the time. So Dave, I knew Dave in college. He was my roommate in college.
Roommate. And, okay. See, I didn't realize that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was my roommate, and when I got kind of finished up overseas, he said, "Why don't you come on out here and keep playing?" And so I got out there, and as I said, it was New Year's Eve. We went, I think, straight to your house. And he told me I was going to be working at Trinity Pub. And I said, "Dave, I don't know what I'm doing back there."
I remember you saying that back there.
Yeah. He said, "Don't worry about it. The guys will just tell you what to do. You just do what they do." And I walked into this place and I thought, holy smokes, it's backed up against a cod shop, which is, couldn't be more perfect.
Yeah.
So you got the fish, you know, you get the bar down
Street.
Low.
Yeah.
Yep. Right at the end of George Street, there was like, you know, an epic kind of snowball fight going on as I'm trying to get into it was just a scene. There's a line out the door. There's music cranking inside. I thought, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but let's give it a go. And, I think this is the next day and you and your dad come in and Dave's off doing something and you guys ask for a Guinness. And I thought, oh no, I knew they were going to ask for this. So I went and poured a Guinness, you know, straight down.
Yeah.
And I could see you looking at it like, what is this guy doing? You know? And your dad was kind of looking at you. He wouldn't even look at me. He was just like so embarrassed for me. And I give you back the Guinness. And you kind of looked at me like, no, do it again. Do it like this.
I forgot.
Anyway, so you guys all brought me along, but, you know, and Michael Manning, who everyone calls Mick, as you know.
Mick.
Mick was great with me. So was Bernie. Bernie was like, "You want some extra money? You come paint my house." He was living out by Kitty Vitty at that time.
Yeah.
And they just took me under their wing. All of the Mannings did. They hosted my dad. My dad worked for Canada Post, and when he would travel around, anytime you go to Newfoundland, the Mannings would host him, put him up for his time there, which is so nice. So they really made it a great experience for me and took it easy on me. Same with the guys on Torbay. It was a blast. I had so much fun.
That is awesome. I didn't realize as much. And the 8 months you were here too. I like, if you guys come back, especially with your family, try to do it during the summer. I mean, like anywhere in Canada, but people don't like, and when you say cold, for those that haven't been, it's cold in that the wind is coming off. It's colder in like Western Canada. I mean, I've never been so cold as I've been even 2 weeks ago, I'm in Fort St. John. It's like minus 30. But so when people look at the weather, it's like, oh, you know, you got.
Terry, I lost audio on you there.
Now it rained ever since. So it's almost back to where it was. I mean, it's, as you know, right? So the weather can be crazy and it's almost bone numbing cold, even though it's technically colder, you know, in lots of other parts of Canada. But this kind of winter, and again, I attribute it, I can't believe it. Can you imagine this, just being a human? Like hundreds of years ago, if you're in St. John's, you go out. Just get in a boat and float for, a couple of weeks, and you're in less than that. You're in North Carolina, at least. Florida, like before electricity, I mean, right? So the people here, yeah. Like George Street's popular. I believe over there, people are like, oh, they drink, they have a good time. I think you would have had to have some social, not consciousness, but, you know, you would have had to be extra social if you wanted to survive and be happy amongst that kind of weather back before electricity. Yeah. So it's something that they do here. But yeah, like it's almost the worse the weather gets, the more people are downtown on George Street boozing. That must have been different to go to San Francisco from here. And by the time you got to San Fran, I'm guessing, were you together with your wife then?
No, I wasn't. So I got out of St. John's, moved to San Francisco. My wife, Amanda, went to Colby as well. It was in my class.
Better. Okay.
So she lived down the hall. And of course, she was smart enough to stay far away at that point from the hockey guys at the other end of the hall. But we were all friends, and she had moved here. She's actually the one who knew about this place. So she moved here.
Where's she from?
Right out of college. She's from New York. She's one of those kids that's from all over. She was born in Amsterdam and then grew up in Hong Kong and moved back to New York. One of those where I joke with my father-in-law that I think he's an international spy, just because he's got all the, you know, the spots. So anyway, she was at Colby, then moved right here. So as a lot of kids do from that area, they want to ski. They want to take a little bit of time after school and they just kind of pack up a car and drive here or a place like it. So she came out here for a couple of years, and the classic story, you kind of say you're going to come for 3 months and you stay for many years. And she was one of those people. Then she moved to San Francisco and we ran into each other there. And so I was, you know, I was in graduate school. She was working at a place there before she went to grad school. So that's how we actually ended up knowing about this place.
She was at Colby with you, and you just happened to find both of yourselves in San Francisco. Fuck, that's crazy. Because the United States
it's so weird.
Is so big. Yeah, that's weird. I mean, 50 states, first of all, and then majors. California's got more people than Canada. And you guys just happened, and that's just one state. And then you guys just happen to be in San Francisco together. That is absolutely wild. Now, what did you think in San Francisco? I've been there a few times and I loved it, but I can see maybe how if you were local, well, I can't, but I haven't been there, but things change when you're local. Is it as cool as I thought it was?
Yeah, it was. So I was there. I got there in 2006.
Now it would be different because I know there's a lot of homeless and I'm not saying that I don't support the homeless. Yeah, I hope each and every one of them finds a good, I just mean there's a lot of overpopulation there's a lot going on in a lot of cities, but I think now it would just be a different perspective than it would have been in 06. But anyway, sort of cut you off. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I think I'm glad to hear you say that you loved it. I always thought you would fit right in there with the music scene and kind of everything going on. And that's what I loved about it. I would spend my nights going to every show I could. You know, you can go find a show
in every
spot. It's not like George Street where you got Michael Bursey and John Lacey, you know, strumming away. But you can find a different band in every little spot. And that's what I would do. I would come home from school. I'd get my work done and out I'd go to catch a show. And so I loved it there. When Amanda and I got together, we moved around a lot. San Francisco is an expensive place. So we ended up having to move quite a bit. I moved, I think, like 9 times in 7 years or something like this. But what was great about it was I got to meet a lot of people. And funny thing with San Francisco is no one's actually from there. Everyone's from somewhere else.
I noticed that.
Yeah. So I got in with some of the, you know, as you do, hockey helps with a lot of things. So I got in with some of the hockey guys there where we kind of knew one another through various, small circles. And it was fantastic. We loved it there. The people were great. Obviously it's California. You're doing things you wouldn't be doing in Ontario. You know, I learned how to surf a little bit. I learned how to go out and like go for a hike, things that I just would not have done because I was playing hockey my whole life. But mostly it was getting to go see a lot of shows and getting to enjoy the music was my favorite part of living in San Francisco for sure.
Was there a pro hockey team there? It's come and gone. When I played, there was a team there, the San Francisco Spiders. They only lasted for 1 year, but I don't know when you were there, did they have a team?
They brought a team back. It was the Bulls, I think. Yeah. It was like a coast team. They played in the Cow Palace, which
was where the Sharks played at first. Yeah.
Whew, that was, it's a legit rodeo ground. Like there's, so they were there for a minute. I think they had a rough go because it's hard to draw people out of the city, the rinks out of the city. So other than that, there's a league downtown, right downtown. It wasn't too bad.
It was
a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a skate in California. Keep up.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets, only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
Okay, so this particular weekend, now I get in tomorrow being Thursday. We're playing on Friday and Saturday. And then I'm glad I got that extra day Sunday. Normally I would fly home on that day, but just being that this is a great spot. The one thing that I missed about playing, the biggest thing when I retired, I realized it was traveling. I mean, there's parts of the game, of course. It's nice to skate around in the NHL. It was a lot of fun. I'm not saying, but those are memories that I'm glad I have. But as a consistent way of life, it was all free travel. So I'm glad that I get to come back and do that. Now, what does it consist of? We're going to go skiing this weekend, right?
You're going
I'm
skiing.
I'm a big skier, yeah. But when it's a nice lodge and it's a place to go, so we are, right?
Yep. So you're going to play 2 games. And then all our guys will probably be skiing all day. I won't be, you won't be. But a lot of the guys will ski all day long. They'll go out in the backcountry and hike a mountain and ski a couple times. Then they'll go to the rink. We'll do that Friday, Saturday.
Wait, hike a mountain.
Yeah.
They're going to ski and hike and then play at night.
They're going to hike up. They're going to ski down. They'll probably do that a couple times. Then they're going to get their stuff and go to the rink and play 2 games. And then on Sunday, they're going to take you up to the mountain.
Dude.
And, you know, make sure you get top to bottom at least
once. Oh, yeah. I want to have a nice big breakfast. Maybe even at that Hemingway Saloon, yeah. whatever it's called. And I'm going to have some, maybe a couple of Caesars, and then we're going to go from there. I'm really looking forward to Sunday. But I'm really looking forward to the whole thing. What does Thursday have in store?
Thursday is, so I'll pick you up. So we're going to go to the airport. I'm going to pick you up and take you up to Ketchum, up to where the resort is. And we'll get you kind of the lay of the land. Maybe we'll go get you all your skis and all that kind of stuff, get your stuff dropped off to the rink. And then we're out to supper. So we're going to go probably hit up maybe the Sawtooth Club where Hemingway spent a lot of time. I know that's a near and dear to your heart. And then it's going to be this is a high-pressure meal because the brass are all coming into town. So they're going to put you through the ringer, I think, at supper.
Oh, good,
so.
good. Well, the Hemingway thing, I don't know how to put it into words, but there's – It's like an intellectual romantic feeling, if that's there. Just having read, and you know, when you're reading classic American fiction, there's some level of intrigue, like romance, to it. Not in a sexual way, but it's to me, it's a really endearing feeling. You know, like not that I'm a writer in a sense. I got a couple of books out about my life. I'm not comparing. I'm just saying when you go through school and take that degree and you see these big names and, you know, he liked to booze, right? As a lot of writers do. So I'd like to go in there and just, you know, for a second, put yourself in that position. When I went to Rapid City last year, I went and sat down and had a couple of beers in the seat that Wild Bill was shot through the back, holding aces and eights. And I sat in that seat, the same sort of feeling. Historic, you know, it's historic, it's nostalgic, and there's a connection with someone that might seem unconnectable, you know? But anyway, I'm really, really, really looking forward to that. So what do I need to bring? Can you guys are going to set me up because I don't have any. I mean, I like skiing when I can do it. I can't do it much. You guys do all that shit.
Yeah, we got everything. So the funny thing here is everybody's kind of a guide of some sort or works in a gear shop. Yeah. And so you'll be all set up that way. You'll have a good set of tour guides. And all the guys, the other thing is, you know, it's senior A hockey in Idaho, but all the guys read your stuff. They all know, you know, they all watch the shows, they all read the books. And so there's a lot of it's funny because I think probably 3/4 of the guys have no idea that I know who you are, kind of thing. So I'm just kind of a fly on the wall and they know that you're coming now. And, so I think you're going to probably have to buckle up. These guys are going to take you for a ride.
Good. And I like to hear that.
Yeah. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll have all the gear for you. And we got, our equipment managers, will take care of all your stuff too. So, we got a couple guys. One's a golf pro here, Sean Eicher, who takes care of all of our gear, and then the other guy is Beats Johnson, who used to be with the Bruins and the Rangers. And so they'll set you up too. They'll take care of all your stuff for you, and you just kind of show up and play and have a good time and have a couple laughs. Maybe lose a couple hockey games to the Suns, and off you go.
Okay, listen, man, I'm really looking forward to this. Now, I've got maybe 10 minutes left, give or take. I got a segment at the end of most podcasts called Rapid Fire Randoms. Are you game for Rapid Fire Randoms?
I'm game. I brought some of my own today.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You always give, if I remember correctly, there was many an intriguing bar conversation. You've got a curious mind. I suppose when you go through school and the older you get, you have more to talk about, right? You know,
well, hopefully, yeah.
I often say now, like people are like, you know what, what's different when you're 20 and where you are now? I'm like, well, I guess it's life experience. You have more to draw from whatever you're doing.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I'm not saying I can keep up with you, but.
Oh, you can keep up with me in many ways.
I got a few of my own. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Dr. Sean O'Grady, Rapid Fire Random. Death row meal. You've been put away. Idaho, I'm not sure of the death penalty. Maybe they do. I know Washington State does. Similar politics and similar history. So whatever you've done, you've come home and one of the mountain city moons has trashed your house. It's a bad prank. You're hungover. You're pissed off. You throw a knife in his neck. Now you're on death row. You're going to be put to death, Dr. Sean O'Grady. What are you going to have for your last meal?
Street tacos.
Wow. First time I've ever. There's of these questions, there's two or three I ask everybody, and I've never heard anybody say street tacos. Congrats to you for that. Superpower. You had to pick one.
Well, I wish I could skate as fast as I could when I was younger. That's for sure. Let's see. For real superpower?
Well, I mean, that's a nice superpower. It's all hypothetical.
I'll tell you a real superpower. I wish I could get by without having to sleep.
Wow. That's another unique answer. Most people say flying or invisibility, which is, again, a fucking great answer. But or it's a decent answer, just a little bit predictable.
Terry, you know I got three girls. I play this game every night at supper. Like we can do this all day.
You got three girls? I forgot that. Again, my memory of you is not having three girls, nor me having any kids. Who's going to win the cup?
Here's how I'm going to answer that. 1 year, the Wings are going to win again. And that's all I care about. Wings need to get back. I'll tell you who's not going to win the cup is the Leafs, which is getting ridiculous. I grew up hating the Leafs, and it's not even all. Everybody loves the Leafs, right? You know, London, Ontario, everybody loves the Leafs. Even my dad now loves the Leafs, and it's not even fun to hate the Leafs anymore. So,
but you do hate them.
I can't stand the Leafs.
Wow. Wow. Can't stand. Hey, what is it? Just a rebellious attitude that you still have? You started when you were 15 or 16 and you're carrying it over?
We lived in Windsor. I grew up during the
Windsor. Detroit. Okay, there's your Detroit affiliate.
Yeah. So when I was living in Ridgetown, though, I was a huge Wings fan, and I got to go and meet the Wings. I was 8 years old. I got to go meet the Wings, and the Leafs were in town.
8 years old, meet the Wings. It must have been like going to Disney.
I walked into Jacques Demers's office. And, I'm looking at the guy that I see coaching the team on TV. He's got nothing in his office. He has a briefcase on his desk. That's it. And he opened the briefcase and there's like a folded up hockey. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Just a stick that's folded up in the briefcase. And that's it. The office was bare. And he's like, hey. But I got to meet him. I got to meet Iserman, which was. Yeah, that guy's my hero. I was a kid, and all these guys. So I grew up a Wings fan.
I mean, I often say, is there a better captain? I don't really know. I wasn't in the dressing room, but everything leads me to believe that he was an unbelievable captain, from the winning, the attitude, the quotes. And I got some people on the inside. We got Danny Cleary, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's right. And Jason Williams, another good London boy.
Another London boy right there. I forgot he was from London. A lot of big goals in that guy's career. So you're going to pick one of these movies. Guess you're on a train. On a warm summer's evening, you're on a train bound for nowhere. You met up with a gambler. He was much too tired to sleep. And you got one movie to watch after he kicks the can at the end of the song. You got about 3 hours left, and you got to pick one of these movies: Pulp Fiction, Shawshank Redemption, Oppenheimer, or No Country for Old Men.
Oof. It's either Pulp Fiction or No Country. If it's No Country, that's going to be a weird train ride, but it might send a message.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, man. Those are the first four that popped into my head as spanning great movies.
As soon as you said gambler, train, I thought you were going to go with like Midnight Run or something like that.
Yeah, there are movies that I could. What's the other one? Is it Maverick? I like that one, the Riverboat Gambling. But
yeah.
It's long ago now since I've seen it. But no, that was just spur of the moment. I didn't even realize. I think I was just saying the lyrics accidentally, so I went with it. The best sports jersey ever. It doesn't have to be hockey.
Best sports jersey ever. That's a tough one. I mean, I love the Tigers. Tigers jersey, Detroit Tigers.
Classic.
Classic, obviously. Love the Red Wings jersey. I love the Suns jersey. That's an all-time classic.
I know so it is pretty good. So you when you pick the Tigers there, so you're a Detroit sports fan,
everything but the Lions. I never.
Yeah, because the Lions have sucked for so long. So, I mean, it wasn't hard. You growing up loving the Wings. I mean, what a wheelhouse for the Wings that was. And even the Tigers are more successful than the Lions. Although I say that tongue in cheek, because I think the Lions, I like where they're going now.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited for a fan base to have something to cheer for that have been so loyal.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, your hero growing up. It doesn't have to be hockey, but can be. I'm getting.
Like a lot of us, my dad, and then also, but for hockey, it was Yzerman. I was a nerd growing up. I was like a science nerd. So I also had some of my heroes were some of the science guys that grew up around us. We had Sir Frederick Banting was
one of the greatest Canadians ever. I think even in remember they had that show. I think he was like up towards number one. Yeah.
Important figure. So there were guys like that, guys and gals. My mom's a nurse. I read Florence Nightingale's journals, like the journals she published. Interesting. She was a big influence on me as well. But when I was a kid, it was Steve Yzerman. Anything Steve Yzerman did, I wanted to figure that out. And you know, Gretzky was a close second, obviously.
When you say you know a lot of your heroes and a lot of your interests when you were a kid, at least went in the scientific route. Did you ever watch? Like a space, like I remember seeing a show when I'm older than you, obviously, but there was a show on in the 80s called Cosmos. Carl Sagan, I think, was his name. And now Neil deGrasse Tyson just took it over a few years ago. I think it's on Netflix again. When you said, because science can go in any real direction you want it to, but were you into that or was most of it medical?
It was mostly medical. It was funny. It was
you were a medical science fan as a kid. I've never heard that before.
I just was such a goof, you know. I was thinking back, and it sounds like such a nerdy thing to say, but it was true. I was, you know, I played with a kid whose dad was a surgeon. I wanted to go and like hang out with this guy and see him do his work and, you know, do all.
Wow, that is interesting.
I spent a lot of my time doing that stuff. You know, I wasn't. I'm looking over here. I got all my books up here from over the years. You'll get to pick a couple off this shelf, I'm sure.
But nice.
I just grew up that way. I always wanted to go into healthcare. But you know, you're a kid, it's still your sports figures and your musicians and your.
Yeah, true. You know, but most kids don't have the science and more specifically medical science.
It's just,
I mean, astronomy for me, because I like Star Trek and stuff, right? So it just went there.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is possible. Which, not that anybody asked here, but now looking back, I love about Star Trek that at least Gene Roddenberry is it. At least a lot of it was written about real science. I mean, obviously, I don't know, Ewoks and not Ewoks, but, you know, that's all not, right? But it's still, it within that world, it's like what they're saying is it's possible for other things to be out there. And, you know, warp speed is a thing. And then, you know, the solar system isn't as big as the galaxy, which isn't as big as the universe. And that was all explained in Star Trek through the plot points. And then when you saw Carl Sagan and now Neil deGrasse Tyson talk about it, I could connect those dots. But I never thought I want to go out and do a brain operation because I saw ER, right? It's and even that would have been a little bit older. Just interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, hey, it was easy to always have a laugh in the locker room. Those guys would have a great, even in college, going to games, the bus, you know, bus could pick everybody. Everybody's like an American studies major or, you know, something where you don't even know. To this day, I don't even know what that is. They'd have to pick me up in a bus at the lab because I'd be still at the lab having to finish my stuff. So I took a lot of heat over the years for it, but
I bet you did. Okay, if you're right here in this world, you can't be a chiropractor anymore. You lost your license because you were drinking on the job. So you've been given a second chance, but you've been given a second chance as a DJ. You got to pick one of these names, though. Oaktown O'Grady, Funky G, Rink Pop. Remember those little things, Ring Pop? This is just Rink Pop. Yeah. Or MC Puke, P-E-W-K-E. Oaktown O'Grady, Funky G, Rink Pop, or MC Puke?
Well, Oaktown O'Grady has a nice ring to it.
And San Francisco's
up. But MC Puke, it feels like you are going to throw the party of the century if you're bold enough to say, look, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah. So I'm going, okay, that's it. You've said, say no more. You would be MC Puke as far as I'm concerned from here on in. okay, you're going to New Zealand. You got a nice little sailboat. The weather's going to be nice, nothing to worry about, but it's going to be a long trip. So you got to pick two of these celebrities to take the trip with you. Okay, it's a room for three and supplies on the boat. It's going to take you a few months to go and come back. Robert Downey Jr., Lizzo, Snoop Dogg, and Bronius Maraca. Do you know who Bronius Maraca is?
I don't.
The oldest living person on earth. She's 117 what? Years old, and she lives in California.
Get out.
Yeah.
All right.
She'll be 118.
Those are my four. Those are easy. That's Lizzo. She's from Detroit. She's incredible.
She's from Detroit. I didn't realize that.
Yep. And Bronius. Who wouldn't? Come on. You mentioned
that. Stories? She's like, she's like well into her life when the Titanic, not well in, but old enough to form memories when the Titanic went down. Still bopping around, right? Probably got a TikTok account. Probably likes to have a good cup of Java in the mornings down at the corner. What's the perfect?
How do you come up with these questions? What are you doing when you?
What am I doing? Yeah. I often at nighttime. With these particular ones at nighttime, to be quite honest with you, I have like one or two puffs of weed. I smoke weed a lot, but never like a full joint. That'd get me too. I don't go around like whacked out of my mind or anything. I just like to, like if I need to think, it goes the other way as it does for people. As you might tell, I've never been diagnosed with ADHD or something, but I think maybe, and nor do I care because I just start writing or I harness the energy in some positive way. But there's a lot of it. And I often need to be settled down just to get my thoughts in order. And when I smoke weed, not only do the thoughts get in order, but they just start expanding my mind to just to all corners. And I might be like watching some YouTube or something. They don't really come from anywhere other than the depths of my brain, and it's usually some personal experience. And as far as the age, I think someone that old would have some unbelievable stories to tell that we couldn't even comprehend, you know. That was like I don't think women could vote in when she was born. I think that happened in the
Think about that's you know 1900 early 1900s probably went from like horse and buggy to car to someone lands on the moon to the internet to you know TikTok.
She was closer. Yeah, exactly. She was closer to the Civil War than now.
Yeah. Right.
When she was born, her lifespan brought her closer at the edges of that than this. That's how old Bronius Maraca is. What celebrity's nose would you like to punch and break?
Punch and break?
Like when I hear or see Simon Cowell, not that he's even in the news much anymore, but and maybe he's a decent fella because you got to put on a show for TV, but it seems to me that he's authentically a prick and I'd like to just bust his nose one day. Is there anybody that...
Have you seen me throw a punch? It's not the same as when you throw a punch.
In this world, you have to pick somebody to break their nose and it's got to be a celebrity.
All right. Let me think.
We can come back to it if you want.
Every once in a while, this is going to sound funny. So I listen to Smartless a lot.
Yeah, me too.
I listen to your stuff a lot.
Almost every episode, if I can.
Every once in a while, I want to punch Bateman right in the nose.
Oh, really?
He's a...
Do you find him
guys,
pretentious?
Oh, well, I find that he's a little too put together. The other guys are letting it rip, and he's got his thing kind of put together, and... Every once in a while, he annoys the crap out of me. And my wife loves the guy, too. So there's also that.
I see where you're coming from. I find it really funny. Well, one of my favorite TV shows ever is Arrested Development. It's all subjective, but it's so up near the top that it's hard for me not to hear that. I love it so much. And people say, well, he's just being himself. I'm like, yeah, but he's been like Teen Wolf, and you know, there's all kinds of roles.
He's done it.
You know what I mean? Like, this guy's got a lot
incredible.
Of
don't give me
on, on yeah. What's that? Ozark, right?
Yeah.
But to me, he's just going to always be Michael Bluth, and I find him funny. But I do understand where you're going with that. I listen, and he's definitely more. He's less likely to go outside the edges than the other two.
Right. Yeah. You just want to shake him out of it every once in a while. Yeah. Like, but I mean, I love it. He does a lot of great stuff. It's just, that was the first guy that came to mind.
Yeah. I mean, if you had to give the true answer, you'd probably be here for 2 hours thinking about it. How many times have you eaten escargot?
Oh, well, probably more. I mean, San Francisco, right? You get tons of stuff out there. But
yeah, I mean,
it wouldn't be the first six.
For me,
I know, I'm like half a dozen. It wouldn't be the first thing I order, that's for sure.
Yeah, but
how about you?
I've eaten. I wouldn't know. It's been years, but I would guess 6 to 12. I think it would fall in there. It used to be, I think, an appetizer at the Keg when I ate there a lot, like back when I was playing pro hockey, you know, or maybe it was Outback Steakhouse. Maybe that was it.
I miss the Keg.
Yeah, I know. I took my daughter there the other day for her birthday. She loved it. In Newfoundland, a lot of those chains don't last, as you know, because people want to support local. But the Keg is one great exception. It's down.
Yeah.
It's improved. It's just down right on the water there, but next to George Street. Celebrity crush in high school or elementary school, whatever.
High school, elementary school, celebrity crush, probably... you probably remember this. Do you remember that show where the daughter, this is like the 80s.
Yeah.
The daughter's talking to her dad who lives in space, and she's got this like little orb in her room, and the thing opens up. She's talking to her dad all the time in her bedroom. I feel like it was maybe like Nicole Eggert or something like that.
I do know who that is. Yeah. And that would have been someone awfully sexy during that time.
She was a babe.
For me, I think it might have been Elizabeth Hurley, but I don't know if that's just because of when she was in Austin Powers. She was phenomenal and like looking and had all those changes. I remember being blown away by her look. But anyway, that's all subjective. Good looking women are much a part of your life when you're a teenager, aren't they? They don't even know it. Other sports you play.
They're listening.
Yeah, they're listening. They're out there. What other sports did you play growing up?
I played everything. In fact, I was listening to your episode with Tessa a while ago, who played at Ohio State, with my sister,
Tessa's
Aaron.
I find her really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. But you all had been talking about 360 athletes and I thought, yep, that's right. So I grew up playing everything, soccer, baseball, hockey, box lacrosse, kind of throughout
just
the season.
Got into everything. Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I got a younger sister and then a younger brother as well. So all of us kind of played everything.
Interesting.
My sister was the best athlete. I think my brother is probably the most athletic, but my sister was a great, great hockey player. She was the captain at Ohio State when she was there. But we all played everything all the time.
Bucket list place to visit. You haven't been yet.
Believe it or not, I have not yet gone to Mexico. So I really want to go to Mexico.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been there. We used to go in Tri-Cities. If you won an award, you got to go on a cruise. So like 7 or 8 guys at the end get to go on a cruise, and it was recommended to do the one out of Mexico, and I loved it, even though it was a cruise. But I did go back a couple of times. The tourist stuff, Cabo, whatever. But I just like the nice weather more than anything. And it's really inexpensive.
What's your spot?
If I could go somewhere, I believe I'd like to get Australia or somewhere. Like, I'd like to see Hong Kong or somewhere in the Asian world. Like, I want to see, I know what it looks like, but I can't imagine just that it's a completely different culture, not Australia. Now I'm talking, probably let's say Hong Kong, for lack of a better way to put it, because it's big and I there's so much going on, and there's a lot of it is a mystery. Like, I know, like, say, you know that they have a top 40, like, I don't know about top 40, but they got music, like, it's just completely cut off. Like, you might hear stuff happen in Europe and that makes its way over here, or England. You know, I like British music a lot, especially when it comes to rock and roll, whatever. But there's just so much I don't under. All of my idea about the Asian world is based on stereotypes. And I'd love to get there and see that. Now, Australia, I just have a lot of listeners from there. I've always been intrigued. And I think there are a lot of similarities to not only Canada, but Newfoundland, being that they're an island, a really big one. But, you know, a little bit of isolation factor isn't the word, but there's something to be an island, and you feel like part of something bigger, like a unit, you know? Like, look at every city or province. Every province in Canada has a Newfoundland bar people hang out with. But it's not like I can go down the street to go to a Saskatchewan bar. Right. I'm not saying that they're not proud of where they're from, but there's something about being from an island. And I get that when I hear Australians speak. Okay. You got to change your name. Something happened when you were on death row. It was like OJ. The glove didn't fit or whatever it was. And you get out at the last minute. You got a great lawyer. But now you lose your fucking mind again. You've kicked the shit out of somebody. Behind a saloon, you're upset. They're on that. You didn't mean to do it, but they hit their head on their curb. They're dead. You need to split town, and you got to change your name. Your best buddy works for the FBI, and he's going to get you a new identity, but you got to pick one of these names. Chaz Gibbons, Corky LeClerc, or Shooter McFarlane?
Oh, Shooter McFarlane all day.
Okay.
Shoot. 7 days a week.
Shooter
McFarlane. I thought you were going to say OG Simpson or something like that when you started out with the OJ thing there. So
yeah, that was, again, the question is your name change. What do you want to change your name to? But somehow, well, I just smoked half a joint before we started, so I'm still
Shooter McFarlane. That's incredible. One of my best friends is a McFarlane, so he's gonna like that
one. And Shooter's, I like the name Shooter.
Shooter's a good name.
It's, you know, I think it's more positive than it is negative. I've never heard anybody hate the name Shooter. And, you know, it's better than just Terry or Sean or Dave, you know?
Yeah.
Probably be a good name change for you. That would actually be a good one. Hey, last question.
Nowhere to go but up.
Last question. You've got to pick your all-time team, okay? Three forwards, two defensemen, and a goalie. But it can't include Gretzky, Lemieux, Howe, Bobby Orr, or any Canadians, Montreal Canadians.
Well, that'd be easy. I wouldn't pick Montreal Canadian anyway.
Well, fair enough. That takes Rocket Richard, Jean Beliveau, they're all out of the question.
They're all out. Terry Ryan.
You're that Canadian that hates the Leafs and the Habs.
I don't hate the Habs. I just know how much Manning loves them, and he's probably going to listen to this, and I just want to grind his gears a little bit.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so let's see. Okay, so they're all out. Then I'm going to go on the left wing, I'm going to go with Bob Probert.
Nice. It's a great pick.
On the right wing, I'm going to go with if I go with Probert, I got to go with McCarty on the right wing. So I'm going to start there.
Starting with a muck line. I love it.
Center. Well, I'm going to add a little bit of dangle up the middle. I'm a London guy, and I got to stick with other London guys. I'm going to put maybe either Mike. Mike Legg. I might go with Billy Armstrong. You remember Billy Armstrong?
Billy Armstrong.
Vipers. Detroit Vipers, Billy Armstrong.
Yeah, I fought another Billy Armstrong. We're not talking. Yeah, I do know who you're talking about.
Okay, so he's my London pick, Willie. If you ever listen to this, sorry, pal. Okay, That's my forward line. Let's go on D. I'm going to go with, we need some size on D. I'm going to go with maybe the big man, Hal Gill on left D. You're not going to want to play against this. You're not going to want to play against this line.
They're way outside the box.
You got to, come on. Got to shake it up a little bit.
I always hear the same. Not always. No, there's some people that have this question. I ask everybody as well. And, shouldn't say that, but I've never heard anybody bring up McCarty, couple people, Probert, no Billy Armstrong. But I love that. So it's why we asked the question.
This is the line no one's – this is the five no one's thinking about, right? Yeah. So,
well, Hal Gill is about 6 foot 12. I mean, I'm kidding, but he's 6 foot eight, isn't he?
He's so big. He played out here a few years ago. He's so big, he picked me up going behind the net and put me on the net. He literally just massive was like, you're guy. Just going to go over here. Big, big boy. all right. What do I got? One left on right D. Who's my right D? Al McInnes.
Wow. I love your picks. Al McInnes, for those that don't know, his time, I guess, is starting to – a lot of those players that were just awesome. Ever notice, like, some guys had unreal stats like that, but they kind of get lost in time?
Yeah.
You know, like, and I get it that some players have more charisma, but it's just funny. We get to this point, and a lot of people don't like, when people say Eric Lindros wasn't that good, I'm like, well, I know you're looking at his stats with Toronto, like in the late, when he came back in the 2000s, but like early on, like this guy was lights out. Guys like Al McInnes, some people still talk about Paul Coffey a lot, but like guys like Brian Leetch, they don't. And he was like, I mean, I know he wasn't Coffey, but like real good. You know, that goes on and on. It's funny what lasts through time, right? But it's probably just, you know, a combination of things. You know, if they're not in the media anymore, Paul Coffey still coaches. You don't really think about that, but he's still on the scene kind of thing, you know?
It's funny to me, the stuff that sticks with you too. You know, like, just little things you see as a kid. Maybe you get to go to a practice. Maybe you get to go to an NHL game.
Yeah, it's influential.
You see one or two things, and it just kind of totally spins you. And that stuff kind of sticks with me. And obviously, Al McInnes being a Glace Bay. I think he's Glace Bay, right? He's a Glace Bay guy.
I know he's Nova Scotia. I don't know if it's Glace Bay, but
he would round out our five.
Yeah, you need to round out six, my friend. You got to pick a goalie.
Oh, I got a goalie. Who's my goalie? Grant Fuhr.
Oh, man. There you go. There's another guy. See, he was – Gretzky says he was the best goalie he ever played with. And a lot of people think it would have been easy to be a goalie for those Oilers teams, but I don't think it was easy because they gave up a lot on defense. Even though they were a great team, they always let up a lot of shots. That was their theory. And it worked. They were going to beat you 8-5, and they did it all the time, right?
And he was fun to watch too. He was, you know, he's the wrong way, you know, and he's flopping all over the place.
He still got the goalie record for points in a season, 14.
Get out.
Yeah, 14 points. Obviously all assists, but yeah, that's how good they were offensively. But I mean, well, when you got guys like Paul Coffey, right, that are incredible, but he gives a little bit up defensively to be that good. He had 48 fucking goals. He nearly had 50 goals 1 year. But when you're doing that, you got to make some big saves. You got to have a goalie in there. You know, I'm not.
Can you imagine seeing that this year?
No, I can't.
Right, like those stats. That was an incredible time.
It was an incredible time, and this has been an incredible time. Do you have anything else to promote or plug before we go?
I got nothing to plug. I'm excited to see you in 24 hours.
Are you picking me up?
It's been a blast watching you. I'll be there.
Deadly. Okay, we're going to have a nice little car ride. Maybe even listen to some tunes like Ted Hitchcock and Pam. Thanks for doing this today. I really appreciate it. I'm really looking forward to seeing you again. And long live Trinity Pub. Long live the Mannings. And hope to see you this summer in Newfoundland. But we'll get to that this weekend, buddy. Thanks for doing this. And we'll catch you tomorrow.
That'd be great. Thanks, TR.
Okay, brothers. Good to see you.
Take it easy.
Okay. Hey, that was Sean O'Grady, Dr. Sean O'Grady. If you're in Idaho or the surrounding area of Idaho, it's a huge state. But if you're within driving distance and you want to have a good time, a lot of these things I go to on the weekends, I've been very busy lately. As you know, I've been to Banff and Brockville and Fort St. John and Brooks, Toronto. Now here we got this just in the last couple months. Next week, Chicago. The week after that's Halifax and Binghamton. So I've been traveling a lot, and I don't say yes unless I'm intrigued by the event. So it's not always the most money or the warmest climate or the best situation, like I said, financially or geographically or whatever. But what I try to do when I get offered these things is really pick some cities that I love to go to. I haven't been in a while. Brooks, Alberta was awesome. People go, Brooks? I'm like, yeah, it's small town Alberta, man. A lot of those people, there's a lot of Red Deer Rebels fans out there back in the day that I went to see. There, I can find, if I find an intriguing, and sometimes it is, if I got nothing to do and I haven't been to a place, sure, I'll take a chance. But for this particular weekend, like when Sean asked, I was so fucking pumped to go back to Idaho. I love that part of the earth. Earth meaning, you know, if it's just a planet with no borders, I would be intrigued by that area for many, many reasons. It's absolutely beautiful. Anyway, I'll get there. And I appreciate everybody following along. I'm going to follow my Instagram if you're in there and you want to, or if you want to come to the game. You're listening to this now from Boise. And I know it's a bit of a jaunt, but for those wondering, I'm definitely going to stick around after. I'm going to talk to as many locals as I can. This isn't make the money, go back to the hotel. This is spend some time with the locals as much as I can. Dinner, drinks, stories. You know, I'm going to be real social. I'm really looking forward to getting back there. So if you're on the fence about going to the game and, you know, you're worried about maybe the long drive with I guess no payoff, whatever it would be, the game's going to be awesome, and I'm going to stick around afterwards, and I can't wait to have a chat about all things hockey, all things Idaho, and whatever you want to talk about. So that's where I'll be. They're bringing me in for a reason, to be social and to live and give some energy to the weekend. So again, if you're listening, I'd love you to show up. That's what we're going for here. We're going to sell some tickets, raise some money. We're going to just have a good time and celebrate not only the game, but just Idaho and hockey and life in general. It's a great time to fucking be alive. And today is the first day of the rest of your life. Thanks for listening. If you're downtown St. John's, why not check out the Bull and Barrel, Trinity Pub, TJ's Pub, Rob Roy Confusion, Martini Bar, of course, Green Sleeves. If you're going to go for a bite to eat, check out Loose Tie, Merchant Tavern, Blue on Water, and of course, Wedgwood Cafe that also do catering. If you want to work out, go to Ryan Power, Power Conditioning, Strength and Balance for the Body and Mind on Ropewalk Lane. If you want to go to Mr. Lube, there's two locations in St. John's, Newfoundland and Labrador. One's on Torbay Road, one's on Chem Mount Road. Live, laugh, loop. Pitbull Pain Relief, the pain sticks that just don't quit. True Hockey, take what is fucking yours. Thank you very much for tuning in. I'll be back in just a few days with more Tales with Tear. Catch you guys on the rebound.